Welcome to Beyond the Bay's Paths. I'm Josh Franz, joined as always by Gabe Cordoba Hawthorne. We apologize for the 1 week hiatus, but we are back and better than ever with a full show planned for you today. We're going to start out with Gabe's favorite American League ball club struggling to start the season.
Yeah, I mean, the Boston Red Sox just have not been able to perform this year. Their offense has been stagnant, but mainly their main problem has really been their bullpen. Ever since Papelbon's left, they haven't really had anyone in the back end. Aviles hasn't performed like he did last year. He's not one of those closer type of guys.
You need the mindset to be able to be a closer. You can't just go in there and pitch like any other position in the pen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like as I said, their offense isn't struggling. David Ortiz is hitting over 400, batting 441. He's having monster year, better than he had last year.
Right.
That Ryan Sweeney is performing. Unfortunately, Jacoby Ellsbury got hurt. Hopefully, he'll be back soon. They said he's getting more range in his shoulder. So hopefully we'll see him back out there. Cody Ross is filling in nicely, but we really need Carl Crawford and Jacoby Ellsbury out there in the outfield.
Yeah, Crawford hasn't panned out ever since he came over from Tampa Bay. Ellsbury was an MVP-type candidate last year, so it's just bad luck with his injury. Hopefully for the Red Sox, he's injured now and not later on in the season so we can come back and make an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a long season after all.
But a guy who's taking a big beating for this, who has no control over how the players perform, is manager Bobby Valentine. He gets booed every time he makes any decision whatsoever, and it's not his fault right now. He can't make a right one because every pitcher goes and gives up runs.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're up 9-0 on the Yankees, you can't really give that lead away, especially in Boston with the way they've been playing. If you're gonna go out and take a pitcher out in front of those fans, you're gonna get booed. That's just the way Boston is. He hasn't really made the best decisions. They're not really it's supposed to be more in-house with issues. He came out with the whole Euclid thing. I don't know. I think that he's kind of bringing it on himself. And when they're not performing, Boston's gonna voice their opinion.
Right. And about the Euclid thing that you mentioned, everybody in Boston or any Boston fan in Boston Nation, anywhere around the world, loves Dustin Pedroia. So when you're on opposing sides with Dustin Pedroia and you don't have the credibility or the rings, the World Series experience to back that up, you're not going to win a debate in the public's view.
Yeah, absolutely. MVP winner, World Series winner, presumably the captain now, though I'm not sure. I don't think he's been named it. He's essentially the clubhouse captain.
Seems to be the voice of the club.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, if you're on the opposite side of him, definitely not doing well in Boston 15 games into the season.
Right. I don't know how much longer his job's going to last, but it's really up to his guys to turn it around for him. There's not much he can do just sitting on the bench.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, injuries aren't always an excuse, but, you know, John Lackey isn't pitching. As I said before, Carl Crawford, Jacoby Ellsbury, those are very key people that they paid a lot of money to that are expected to be out there and perform. And with them, you know, with them on the DL, you can't really blame Bobby Valentine, although he should be doing better. You can't really do much when your pitchers, when you get a lead, you manage your way to a lead essentially, and then every guy you put in, it seems to give up four runs.
Right. There's nothing he could do about it. There's nothing the Red Sox pitchers wanted to do about it. So let's move on to a ball club who's playing very good baseball right now. My home team, my favorite team, the Los Angeles Dodgers. They've won every series except for one. They lost one in Milwaukee. Respectable loss of a series against a playoff team last year.
Yeah, but I mean, that's their only series. That has been their only series so far against a playoff contending team or a playoff team from last year. So for them to lose that, I think, kind of shows.
Do you think it diminishes what they've done so far?
I mean, I never put a lot of stake into what they've done at all. I think, congrats, you beat the crap of the league. Not really the good teams.
It's your
of the
job.
League.
If you win, who win games? Who you're supposed
yeah,
to win
and
games
I completely yes, you won. But I don't give I don't I'm not putting them high on a power rankings or anything. I need to see what they do. This Braves series, I think, is a very important one. Even the Nationals one coming up, they're doing very well.
Nationals
out
are.
There. Their pitching's absolutely phenomenal. But, yeah, I think that this Braves series is key. Because they lost that Brewers series, I think they need to win this series, I think, against the Braves for me to think that they're a contending team.
Okay, well, this series so far, they won yesterday at home against the Braves 7-2. They're winning tonight 2-1 in the top of the fifth. So as long as they can hold on to this, and that means they win the series.
Then I'll give them that they can score. I don't necessarily trust them. I just don't see the Dodgers as holding it till the end of the season.
Right, and that's why I like this. This is not a BCS college football format where you need the votes of everybody. If you can load up on wins at the beginning of the year against bad clubs and ride that to the finish line, then you make the playoffs, and it's great.
I guess that's true. And the NL West isn't looking that strong this year. My D-backs, just especially with Chris Young out, Justin Upton sat out a couple games against the Braves.
Finally hit a home run.
Yeah, finally. It was a bomb,
it was
too.
A blast.
But yeah, finally got his RBIs and first RBIs and home run of the season. Daniel Hudson on the DL. It's not the same team that Kirk Gibson had last year, but as with the Red Sox injuries early in the season, we've seen it help teams later. Like, we've seen after the All-Star break, you get players back. It's like making a trade, essentially,
right,
without having to give anybody up. You just gain.
It's a free acquisition.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, and with the high big names that are out for each Red Sox and Diamondbacks, I think that when they come back, it's definitely going to make a huge impact on the team.
All right, so let's go from talking about my team to talking about you. You, Darvish. He picked up his third win tonight. He's now four starts, three wins. He has one no decision where he went 5 2/3 at Minnesota, giving up one run. He went 8 1/3 tonight against the Yankees, scoreless ball. This kid is for real.
He looks pretty good. Four starts in. I wouldn't say he's for real. Would you say Michael Pineda's for real? He pitched one good half last year, but didn't do anything in the second half. I think that I need to see a little more of him. He looks great. I think that his walks are a little high.
Okay.
Against good teams, he's gonna definitely be. They're definitely gonna make him pay for that. But yeah, he definitely looks solid.
Well, I would say the difference between you, Darvish, and Pineda is that he comes from playing against professional players in Japan and had success over them. Pineda hasn't found that success. Yu Darvish might be the best pitcher in Japanese baseball history. He had a 2.3-something ERA for his career in Japan.
I mean, yeah, he definitely has potential. I'm not saying that, obviously, with the amount that Texas paid him. He's pitched well so far, but you know, if we've learned anything from past Japanese pitchers coming over, it's that it definitely can be tough to match up against major league hitters day in and day out for 30 starts. Can he give Texas 30 starts and be very good, be as good as he's been so far? I mean, if he can sustain it this year, then, you know, good for them. They found someone.
Right. That's what we don't know yet. We're going to have to wait to see on that. I don't know. Something about this kid just seems different to me. He doesn't seem like every Japanese pitcher we've seen before.
You know, it's tough because all the past Japanese pitchers have historically not done well. There have been the few that have performed well, but I don't know. I think he has a chance, but I don't think we can say that he's for real yet.
Okay, that's fair. So moving on from one of the newest Texas Rangers to a now newly retired Texas Ranger, Ivan Rodriguez has called it a career, and a wonderful one at that. He was a 14-time All-Star, a 13-time Gold Glove Award winner at arguably the toughest position in baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. He even won an MVP there, out there with Texas. So he's definitely a crowd favorite. They love him. His number will probably be retired there. Solid cannon for an arm there. You can't run on him pretty much. He hit the ball. So it's such a tough position, as you said, day in and day out, to be able to hit like he did and control the game from behind the plate as much as he did.
Controlled the running game, held the pitching staff in check. As you said, he hit the ball. He had 7 Silver Slugger Awards.
Yeah.
There's nothing on a baseball field that this guy can't do. I'm going to be sad that I'm not going to be able to see him play anymore.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and you know, you talked about keeping the runners at bay and stuff. He kept people closer to first base because he could, throw them out.
He could throw behind anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't get any kind of a lead on him. And this helps your infield so much more. This helps your pitcher out. You don't really got to worry about anything, worry about your move all that much, because you know if they go, they're going to be out.
Right. He had so much impact on the game, kept guys close, lessened holes in the field. And then right when we said with the bat, he won a World Series.
Yeah.
There's nothing on his career checklist that was left unchecked.
Yeah, true that. I mean, he hit close to 300, batted close to 300 lifetime, so he definitely hit for average.
Yeah, 296 career hitter.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Ends up with over 300 home runs. It's phenomenal as a catcher.
Over 1,300 RBIs. Yeah, he... Definitely one of the better catchers I've got the privilege of watching.
All right, so moving on from one old guy to another, we're going to talk about Jamie Moyer.
Absolutely phenomenal. I cannot believe what this guy is doing out there in Colorado.
How old is he? Let's see. How old is Jamie Moyer now, winning games for the Colorado Rockies?
49.
That would be incredible.
49 sounds about right.
49 does sound a little high. He is 49.
With a 2.55 ERA, 49 years old. He's still doing it.
I don't understand.
Dealing.
When he made the ball club for the Rockies, even I'm not a Rockies fan. I don't like the Rockies. They're a rival of the Dodgers. He made the roster. I was happy for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a guy you root
crowd
for.
Favorite, absolutely.
First of all, he's a lefty, so it was just fun to watch.
Yeah, crafty lefty.
He's crafty. He doesn't throw anything above 85 miles an hour.
So it's fun to see him get guys out.
Being extremely generous. You love to see how you just outsmart hitters at the major league level.
Yeah, and he goes to show that even at his age, he takes a year off, comes back at 49, and is still dealing in a hitter's ballpark in Colorado.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I have to say I love Jamie Moyer. You know, only 21 seasons in his career, so he's never been too outstanding. I don't know. Do you think he has a chance for possible Hall of Fame bid?
Oh no. Not even close.
At all.
He has 268 career wins, which is incredibly impressive. There's been great pitchers who haven't gotten to 300, but I think it's just a testament to how consistent he's been over the years and not how great he's been.
Yeah, he pitched in four different decades. He's gotten a win in four different decades.
It's insane.
Two centuries. A century has gone by, and he's won a game in each one. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. He's the oldest player to ever win a game on the Hill. He won his 268th career game, tying him with Hall of Famer Jim Palmer for 34th on the career all-time win list.
Yeah, wow. Just awesome. Good for him. I hope he continues to do it.
Yeah, not against the Dodgers, but against any other team, I wish him luck.
If he could continue it against the Dodgers, that'd be awesome.
All right, let's move on to make our picks for our new century team.
Ba-da-da-da-dum.
We're picking first baseman and catchers today. Gabe, start us off with your catcher.
I'm going to pick my favorite, one of my favorite Red Sox of all time. I actually have his shirt on, the Red Sox shirt with his name on the back. His name is Jason Varitek.
Shocker.
He was known as the captain. He caught a major league record 4 no-hitters. So any pitching staff, he makes everybody better calling the game behind the plate.
Boston can use him right about now.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he was always a solid hitter. He was never anything amazing, but what he was there for most was behind the plate, how he commanded that pitching staff. We saw it in, I think it was 06, when they faced, he got injured in the middle of the season, and that the pitching staff just went, it just didn't do anything. It ended up, they lost, didn't go to the playoffs at all, and it just showed his importance to the team. He always seemed to come up with clutch hits and clutch situations. Hit almost 200 home runs in his career, but as I said before, his most crucial thing was behind the plate, helping him win two World Series.
I'm gonna pick a guy whose main job was to win World Series as well. He was not as good defensively as your guy. I'm going with Jorge Posada. He's been in a Yankee uniform for as long as I can remember. I know you don't like him, because he was in that Yankee uniform.
Oh, my gosh.
But he has been so consistent with the bat over the year. Starting in the year 2000, he hit 28 home runs. He hit at least 20 home runs every year until 2005, where he hit 19. And then he picked it up again with 23 the next year. And then all the way down to 2009, except for that he was injured in 08. So basically every year from 2000, 2009, he hit at least 20 home runs. You knew exactly what you were getting from the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was able to control that pitching staff. But he being a catcher in the Yankee lineup, you know, you always expected stuff from Jeter. They had they had guys like Bernie Williams and stuff. They always had the big power hitters, but Jorge was never really one that was talked about. He was definitely one of the stronger guys that have been there for a while.
I feel like he just flew under the radar, switch hitting.
Yeah, consistently gets 20 home runs. Nobody really pays attention to him. Over 70 RBIs. But
when your job is to play defense and you're hitting 20 home runs.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll take it.
I want to talk about two guys who I wanted to take so badly. As a Dodgers fan growing up, loved Mike Piazza. Unfortunately,
the pizza man.
You call him whatever you want. He delivered most home runs out of any catcher in the history of baseball. However, most of his work was done before the year 2000. Couldn't take him. And for the same reason, I couldn't take Pudge, like we were talking about earlier. Arguably the best catcher of all time.
But got his gold gloves in the 90s. So.
Yeah, he did everything in the 90s and then played in the 2000s and still made several All-Star games.
Yeah, still did very well. However,
wasn't the same guy.
Didn't quite cut it for our list the 2000s.
Just looking at that decade in the past couple of years, I'd say Jorge Posada had a little bit better of a career. The four World Series or three World Series in the 2000 eras doesn't hurt Jorge Posada there.
I mean, Mike Piazza didn't do, he did all right at the beginning of the 2000s, but
right. Definitely
did most of his damage in the 90s.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to first base. Who you got?
I'm going to go with somebody that has always been featured as one of the best hitters of all time, one of the better defensive players of all time. And he's finished in MVP in the top 10 of MVP voting every single time of his career. And I'm talking about none other than Albert Pujols.
Yeah, never let me pick second in first baseman.
Yeah, right? I mean, you can't go wrong with picking Albert Pujols. The MVP voters, they know this. They know that if I have a doubt, I can always go with Pujols. Somebody that consistently hits over 30 home runs. In a year that was his down year, he hit 299, 99 RBIs, and 37 home runs. And that's a down year for
him.
That's
like 2 years.
I'll take a down year, please. Like, I'll take a down year any day of the week. Yeah, career high 49 home runs. Excuse me. The guy just really does it all. He did it all for St. Louis. I bet they're sad that he's gone. Hasn't really performed for LA yet.
I have no doubt that he will turn it.
But eventually, there's no doubt. I mean, a guy that finishes top 10 in MVP, even in his rookie year, he finished fourth in the MVP voting. I mean, he's just amazing. Going to be one of the better hitters of all time.
If he retired right now, he's a Hall of Famer on the first ballot. Can't go wrong with picking Albert Pujols.
Absolutely. Even two World Series at such a young age.
I would have loved to have him on my team, but since I let Gabe pick first, I'm going with Todd Helton, a man that terrorized the Dodgers for many years.
Still does it.
Yeah. He right now, if he were to retire right now, a .322 career batting average.
Wow. Wow.
With 350 home runs.
Never really had any protection in that lineup either. It's always
Larry Walker, and that's when they found their most success. And then in recent years, they've had too low.
Brad Hopp did it for him a little bit. Chris Iannetta.
But he has been the cornerstone of that franchise.
Oh, they had Matt Holliday. So I guess he was more protection for Holliday than he had any protection, really.
Yeah, I guess so. And what happened the 1 year that they were together and both played great?
They went to the World Series.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, that was awesome. I guess I went to I was being a D-backs fan. I went to the games. It was tough to see Colorado go, but at least the Red Sox won. So
right, I'm sure you weren't too upset.
It'd have been
with
cool if it could have been D-backs Red Sox for me.
But then your favorite team would have lost the World Series.
But my favorite team would have won too.
And they did.
And I could have watched it. I could have gone to a World Series game. I haven't been to one yet.
That's awesome. I've never been to one either.
I bet it's one of the better things.
In some alternative universe, if the World Series ever goes to L.A., I will line up for days for a ticket.
Oh, well, you have so many chances ever to go to California. You got Oakland. Well, maybe not Oakland. You got maybe not San Francisco. You got the Angels.
Dodgers. Aren't the Angels in last place right now, those Angels?
Yeah, but I mean, they have Albert Pujols. They have C.J. Wilson. I don't think either of us are too worried about the Angels making the playoffs.
I actually think the Dodgers have as good a chance as anybody in California to make the World Series. You look at the Angels.
Yeah, in California, yeah, absolutely. They probably right now they might have the best chance of anybody in California.
I mean, the Giants.
To make the World Series.
The Giants are a few games behind them, but they. Might
I am actually.
Talent.
I am very impressed with Buster Posey right now. I did not think he was going to come back and play this well. I don't know. After missing a full year, he's still killing the ball, still doing well behind the plate. Hasn't looked too scared. Won't block the plate at all.
That's
so.
Why he's not scared.
Yeah, exactly. All you got to do is sweep the glove, and you're good.
Yeah, I expected nothing less of him. He's a pro's pro. He goes to work hard every day, from what we hear, and he hits the ball.
Yeah, fair enough.
Tells the staff. All right, so let's do a little recap here. Your four players on your team. Tell me who they are.
Well, my starter, I got Randy Johnson. Coming out of relief, I have Trevor Hoffman. My catcher is Jason Varitek. And then my first base is Albert Pujols.
Sounds like a solid squad.
Good start so far, I think.
I have Roy Halladay as my starter. He'll go 8 innings.
Yeah.
I got Mariano Rivera just in case we need him in the ninth.
Yeah, just in case.
Just in case. we move over to behind the plate, and I've got Jorge Posada hitting the you-know-what out of the ball.
Yep. Yep.
And then we move over to first base, and I have Todd Helton. So we will pick the remainder of our teams when we come back and start the fall semester of 2012 at ASU. That'll do it for us here for our spring semester. I hope you enjoyed our new show, and we'll listen again in the fall.
Ah, shucky ducky.
That's Gabe Cordova Hawthorne, and that's the last thing you'll hear. I'm Josh Franz.